So anyone can relate to the frustration and really terror for parents of trying to deal with a seriously disturbed child. But what about antipsychotic drugs as a solution? There are some who certainly need it, but a Columbia University study out today says the number of 2 to 5-year-olds prescribed antipsychotic drugs like Risperdal and Prozac has doubled between the years of 2000 and 2007. Is this medically necessary? Well, it's an investigation that our partner, the New York Times, is focused on. Joining us is Duff Wilson, author of today's New York Times article about young children on antipsychotic drugs, children as young as 18 months old. Good morning, Duff Wilson.
Good morning.
And Dr. Mary Margaret Gleason also joins us, assistant professor of psychiatry and pediatrics at Tulane University. Doctor, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Is there any justification for such a significant rise, 100% increase, doubling of the use of antipsychotic drugs for 2 to 5-year-olds between 2000 and 2007?
Well,
I think,
Dr. Gleason, you first.
I think the first thing to be aware of in talking about this topic is that the vast majority of prescribers, myself included, who are treating young children who do have severe emotional behavioral problems are doing the best they can, but with insufficient information. And so we don't have enough information about how to diagnose and characterize the severe emotional behavioral problems that young children can have in the context of their families, and we don't have enough information about the safety or the effectiveness of these medications.
And this is really the frustration for parents and doctors trying to deal with this problem. But what disturbs me is you talk about a population of young kids who haven't really been studied on even the question of what it is that's going on with them mentally. And then you have drugs like Prozac, where the efficacy of those drugs is really in question, even for adults. How do you explain, what leads to a prescription? I mean, it seems like a lot of guesswork is going on here, Dr. Gleason.
And physicians who are prescribing or treating young children really face a very difficult problem when they're working with young children who have severe emotional or behavioral difficulties. The first challenge really is to do a comprehensive assessment and understand what's going on with the child, intrinsic to the child, what's going on in the family relationships, what's going on in the home environment context. And that's the first challenge. The next challenge is to try to access evidence-based non-pharmacological treatment, and there really aren't enough of those. There are studies that show that non-pharmacological interventions can be very effective and have sustained results over years, but most families can't access those treatments. And then what's left is prescribing, and we are in a situation where prescription pads are quite available, but the knowledge to guide that prescribing is quite limited.
And what is a parent to do? I mean, that's really the question that's behind, and hold on there, Dr. Margaret Gleason, assistant professor of psychiatry at Tulane University. Duff Wilson, author of today's New York Times article about this story. I mean, that's really the premise of your article. What is a parent to do? Let's talk about the story of Kyle Warren, who's featured in the opening of your story. We got this sound from the New York Times website. This is Brandy Warren talking about her son, Kyle.
He was in daycare, and he banged his head so hard on the concrete floor, he had to go to the hospital.
Tell me the story of Brandy Warren and her son, Kyle. Kyle is the mother of Brandy. Go ahead.
Brandy's the mother, actually. Brandy was a single mother in Louisiana that had Kyle when she was 22. And he was a handful as a little child and baby. He had, language difficulties. He threw a lot of tantrums. He was, she couldn't handle him.
And, clearly along the lines of what Dr. Gleason is saying, here is a parent reaching out to try to get the best advice that she can get. And what were the options that were presented to her?
Well, she went, when Kyle was 18 months old, to a pediatrician who recommended that he be put on an antipsychotic drug. He diagnosed Kyle as with autism, which it soon turned out he did not have. And then they changed the diagnosis to oppositional defiant behavior. So between the pediatrician and the child psychiatrist who was seeing Kyle, the child, and Brandy, his mother, they had him on antipsychotic drugs from the time he was about 18 months old until after he was 3 years old.
And let's just hear. You can hear in the voice of Brandi Warren, who's the mother of Kyle, just you know how simply she's asking for advice. And here's what the doctor told her.
I asked him if there was something that we could do to help calm him down because I could not handle him, and he put him on the Risperdal.
So the mission is calm down my son. The question goes to the doctor, and Risperdal is the answer. What were the consequences of that decision, the use of the drug Risperdal, Duff Wilson?
A lot of consequences. It certainly calmed him down and helped to keep him in daycare, for instance. He also put on a lot of weight, which is a side effect of those drugs. And we're not sure what the other consequences are, really, because the drugs have been barely studied in children as young as Kyle.
And that is sort of the disturbing conclusion, at least in part, from your article in the New York Times, Dr. Mary Margaret Gleason. Are kids like Kyle Warren in some sense a bizarre experiment in the testing of antipsychotic drugs on young kids?
Well, I think that the story is one example of why we really need to be advocating for more systematic research. Certainly using medications without tracking carefully doesn't give us the information that we need to know about safety and the effectiveness of any kind of treatment. What we need is to have funding for structured research studies that really ask and answer the questions specifically about specific diagnoses matched with certain medications and start to compare psychopharmacological interventions with non-psychopharmacological interventions, because at this point we have much more evidence about the non-psychopharmacological interventions, which are quite effective for disruptive behavior disorders.
And getting the information to the doctors really is key here. Dr. Mary Margaret Gleason, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Pediatrics at Tulane University, thanks so much. Finally, Duff Wilson, what do you think the takeaway should be to a parent who reads your article this morning about what the future holds for their disturbed child?
Well, the takeaway should be to seek the best medical advice that you can, and be careful about what you give your child. The takeaway should be to, if you can, to follow some of the guidelines of the model program in Louisiana that Dr. Gleason runs, and that is to try to do therapy if you have the time, and to focus on non-drug interventions.
And that's the happy ending for Kyle Warren's story, because when he was put on the non-pharmacological interventions, he thrived, right, Duff Wilson?
Yes, he's 6 years old today, and he's doing great in first grade.
Great story. Duff Wilson, author of today's New York Times article about young children on antipsychotic drugs. Go to our website. You can see the story and get more information, and also weigh in with your own story.
And later this morning, Dr. Gleason will be answering your questions on this subject. You can ask your question. The live Q&A starts at 11:30 Eastern on the New York Times website.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.